with just having a little discussion slash argument. How's that? I'll take the argument side. Here we go, huh? Just, I think, something that's going to help us as we go through this text. And we've kind of talked about it. So, Gentile. When I say Gentile, what's it make you think of?
Non-Jew.
Just non-Jew? Take that a little deeper.
Us.
Okay. And if I say Jew, what does that make you think of?
Arrogant.
Jesus was that way?
No.
He was a Jew?
His people were. Or I have been.
So was it easier for the Gentiles to accept Jesus and come into Christianity or the Jews?
Gentiles.
It may have been, yeah.
It's difficult for both.
Yeah, you know where I'm going, right?
You can make arguments for both.
Well, let's make those arguments.
I didn't mean me. Because Jews had the line of the concept of faith in God. So they already, they already lived a life of obeying God's commandments, and so they were. Whereas, Gentiles didn't have that preconceived.
Okay.
So
it's easier for them or harder?
Like I said, you could make.
I know that's where I'm going. That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
The Gentiles would have more of a difficulty because of their many gods. They had, and the people that they worked with in the area where we're all the same belief.
I can argue against that.
Well, then on the other hand, the Jews were looking for a savior to come and rule actually on earth.
Okay.
So, and to see Jesus as a carpenter's son, as there's no place to put his head.
Okay.
It's very difficult to believe.
All right. Marcia?
Well, in theory, the Jews should have known about Christ because they had been taught the law and the scriptures, and everything Christ doesn't just appear in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
The story of Christ begins way back in the very beginning. So they should have known, but they didn't, because they lived as much with their traditions as they did with their studies, and so it was much perhaps more difficult for them to accept it because they didn't understand it. The Gentiles, yeah, they had a lot of gods, but they had no one true, this is the life you have to live. They didn't have a structure that they could live under. So you could argue that those who were really interested in being Christians, who were really interested in the spiritual aspect of the world they lived in, whether you considered that a Buddhist or a Christian or whatever, but the spiritual aspect of the world they lived in, they might have looked at this as a way for them to be in touch with the spiritual aspect of the world. Okay. So they could be, it could be harder for them or easier for them, and the same could be said for the Jews.
Good. Okay.
You've heard the term God's gift to women concerning certain men. If they can come up with that in their lifetime, after hundreds of years of being indoctrinated that they were the chosen, that would have been very hard, in my opinion, to overcome. Because look at what's going on in our world now. People in just their lifetime are saying they're God's gift to the world. And after hundreds of years, those people were thoroughly indoctrinated to the fact that they could do no wrong, and that God was going to bless them no matter what.
Okay. Yeah, if I was a Jew, the typical, not the one that was, looking for the Messiah and really understanding, but, that typical Jew, was it easy for me to virtually throw out the old law and take the dogs, which who were who? The Gentiles, and worship with them.
It'd be hard for the Gentiles too, because they were not accepted, and they had to step into this position where they had to learn all these rules, different things that they hadn't had in their life, and they had to be try to be accepted by these people.
Yeah, and they were treated. How were the Gentiles treated by the Jews?
Dirt.
They wouldn't even eat with them. Walking down the street, they wouldn't even walk on the same side of the street. So all of a sudden, you know, Christianity, now we're all one. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's the way it should be.
That's absolutely so. I'm just saying that I think a lot of times we think that it was maybe easier for the Jews to assimilate, if you will, into Christianity and not the Gentiles, but they both had different issues, right? So we need to understand that, because I think that's where our text is going to take us. You know, so there's arguments both ways.
I think for the Gentiles too, this is a bad comparison, but I'm going to make it anyway. It's kind of like I've been raised in a church my entire life, right? So for me, some of these things are just habit and a given. They're not things I question. But if I'm, you know, someone my age that, you know, I have a friend who reached out to me recently and said, hey, I want to hear about this church you're going to in Sparks. So she might end up attending, but I have no idea what her background is. So to her, everything's going to be new possibly, right? Mm-hmm. And then so she might have to go from, you know, doing whatever she wants in life to restricting her, you know what I mean? Going to be all new, and it's going to be a massive lifestyle shift. So it's, you know, for the Gentiles, it was something similar. You know?
Gentiles doing what they thought was right, kind of, go ahead.
Well, the Gentiles had many gods.
Yes.
They did for the gods. The gods didn't do for them. And when they saw what God could do through the miracles, if I were back then, it'd be easy for me to accept that one.
Yeah, they had many gods. Jews had one. Jews looked at the Gentiles because they have many gods, that they're idol worshipers. So on and so on and so on.
But both Jews and Gentiles had to completely have a different mindset.
That's the point. You know, I think Mike mentioned last week in his lesson, you know, when we become Christians, we have to make that 180 degree turn, right? And that's for the Gentiles or the Jews.
You know, this is what Christ preached.
Yes.
Jew and Gentile. And he wanted these brethren to get along so they could fulfill his will.
And that's the point, to get along. So how would the Jews accept the Gentiles?
We're better than you. They would say, we're better than you. We've got the promise, you haven't, you know.
How would the Gentiles accept those Jews that thought they were so high and mighty and they always looked down on us? How would they accept the Jews? How would the Gentiles accept the Jews?
Maybe with fear.
Subclass people,
yeah.
Higher class the Jews, subclass the Gentiles. Just understand the culture.
Well, they have to realize that God now accepts everybody, and that's the most important.
Oh, that's simple to realize.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point, right? I mean, that's true. That's easy for us.
Yeah.
But in that, just put yourself in that culture. It wouldn't have been easy for them. Okay? So I think that's going to help us as we go through this. So, John.
At that time, the Jews were actually a minority in comparison to the Gentiles.
Depends on where they were.
Yeah. It started in Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
which under Roman tyranny at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to become Jews because of the Romans. They started playing sliced Christian and
sure.
everything else with them.
It was just somewhat of a hard sell, if you will, for both groups.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, we want to make sure that we put the emphasis on souls and the love we have for souls, because we don't get along, this thing's going to grind to a halt.
Okay, good.
Nothing's going to get done. That's why Christ preached souls.
And that's what we're going to see, that the unity that we need to have. Hang on one second, Mike.
One of the best examples I can think of right now would be Paul, because he was a dyed-in-the-wool Jew, and he made the 180 turn and turned to Jesus and realized through the burning, which I mean, it's like he knew, and it was seared into him, and he was able to, at that moment, to accept all of that he had done. And realize what he needed to go through, but what he went through to be able to profess.
Definitely the positive example of how, you know, how the Jews should accept Jesus.
I was just going to say that, you know, I totally agree that each group had their own challenges for sure. The challenge was really to the Jews, though, because in verse 17 it says, "And he preached peace to those who were far off and to those who were near." Yeah. The Jews were challenged as being near. So near would make you think that the Holy Spirit and God is thinking the Jews should have understood this fast and furious sooner. But still, the unique challenges exist. But at least near versus far kind of gives you a sense.
Good. Good, okay, let's read our text. We're picking up in chapter 2, verse 11, where we're starting this morning. So let's read from 11 to 22. Somebody want to read that for us? It's on the board. Read it out of your Bible, whatever you want. Who wants to read? Everybody look down at their Bibles. Don't get eye contact with me or I'll call on you.
I'll read it, Randy.
See, I do the same thing, so I know how to do that well. Okay, Marcia, go ahead.
Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit.
All right, thank you. Okay, so let's pick it up. So, as it starts, therefore remember, what have we talked about up to this point? Therefore is the conclusion, right? Remember what? What are we talking, what's the context?
Faith.
Faith?
Great, you obtain grace through faith.
Okay, that's one. What's verse 1 say of that same chapter?
Grace.
You were dead in your trespasses and sins.
That's right.
Okay, remember that. Therefore, remember, we'll see, that you formerly, talking about the Gentiles, how were they?
Uncircumcised.
Messed up. Separated from God. Sinners. Right? Remember that. Do we do that?
We better.
I mean, he's telling the Gentiles here to remember that. Why is he telling them to remember that?
So that you don't think you're better than other people, for one thing.
Okay.
You don't go back.
That you don't go back. And that what?
That you receive the grace of God.
That God is to be glorified, because what did he do?
He did everything.
You know, he did everything. I mean, just going back to verse 1, you were dead, okay?
Dead in your trespasses.
Dead in your trespasses and sin. Talk about, we touched on miracles for a little bit. We're not going to go back into that. But talking about a miracle, what kind of a miracle is it to where we as people are dead, separated from God, and God made us alive together with Him? That in and of itself is an
amazing,
amazing miracle. Right? Amazing thing that God
did. He loved us that much, right?
That's right. So remember those things. Therefore, remember that formerly you, and specifically right now we're talking about the Gentiles. Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision. What does that mean?
They were Jews.
Not under the covenant.
Okay. They were called, right? Who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision.
Jews believed that circumcision was essential to believe in God.
It was.
And they tried to put their way of commandments and rules and regulations on anybody that was uncircumcised.
But yeah, but what does it mean? Called uncircumcision.
Without God.
Huh?
Without God.
Without God. It was a title. It was not a title. It was a, like what we call people today. He's an unbeliever or non-baptized. It was a title. It was derogatory. You're uncircumcised. What does that mean? You're a Gentile. You're dirt.
You're not under God's grace.
That, well, that's right. But the point is, how did the Jews, what did the Jews call them? They didn't call them, oh, you guys are great. You know, you're just alienated from Israel. You're uncircumcised. Go away. Isn't that what he's saying? Formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, right? Who were called uncircumcision, uncircumcised by who? By those who were, by the Jews. So that's the title that you have. Okay, we won't get into too much detail, but we need to. What is circumcision? You knew I was going to go there, right? We won't get graphic, but there's a huge point on circumcision. What is circumcision? What's the concept here?
It's not performed by God. It's performed by human hands. It's designated by God. It was designated by God to the Jewish nation for them to be members of the Jewish nation, or if you were a proselyte. So anybody who joined the Jewish nation, it was still a human act. It wasn't a spiritual act.
Yeah, the one we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's performed by what?
Human hands.
By human hands.
But that's not true with the circumcision of the heart.
And that's where we need to go. So circumcision means, what does it mean?
Submission.
Cleansing.
Cleansing. It's
conditional.
We're not going to get graphic. It means to cut around.
Right.
That's right.
Okay? And the reason, we won't get into that. The reason that was done was why? Why is it even done today?
Health.
Health. Typically, right. What's the concept?
They become
pure. Okay? What's the concept? For cleansing, to be able to be cleansed better, right? It's a cutting around. And in fact, we'll talk about the circumcision of the heart. What do? You take a heart and you cut around it, meaning what? You cut off the sin.
Right.
You cut off that which is bad.
Well, that's how they tie it in.
That's the point. Okay, so let's hit a couple passages because we need to understand that. So in Romans chapter 2, I just want to make sure we all understand that concept of circumcision because it's important. Are we circumcised today? Yes, we are. Ladies, are you circumcised? Yes. Right? Okay, Romans 2, picking up in verse... 28, just, we're going to hit a few passages and kind of put them all together. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision, that which is outward in the flesh, catch that. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. Moving on to chapter 3, verse 1, because we're going to catch this a little later. Then what advantage has a Jew? Or what is the benefit of circumcision? Is there an advantage of being a Jew?
No.
Yes. I don't know. Well, let's say. Verse 1. Then what advantage has a Jew? Question mark. Or what benefit of circumcision? Question mark. Verse 2. Great in every aspect. For every respect. First of all, that they were what? Entrusted with the oracles of God. So was there an advantage being a Jew? Absolutely. We're going to talk about that. He's wetting your whistle here. Okay? So the idea of circumcision is circumcision of the heart. Colossians 2, remember Mike went over this in his class. Back to Colossians. Very similar text here. As we talked about, Colossians and Ephesians, a lot of really similar teaching in the two of them. Colossians 2, picking up at verse 9. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Talking about Jesus, obviously, right? Right? Verse 10, for in him you are made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. We just went over that in Ephesians, right? And in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What do? We cut out the sin in our lives. Having been buried with him in baptism, which you were raised up with him through faith and the working of God to raise him from the dead, and when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us of our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of death. So what we today, what do? As we become Christians and we're buried with him in baptism, what are we? We are circumcised. We cut out the bad parts around our heart. Right? So we are. So the circumcision is, you know, something we need to understand. And then one other in Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3, starting in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers, beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. So are we circumcised? Yes. Physically? No. Some of us maybe. But that's not the point. When it comes to Christianity, we're circumcised spiritually. The idea of cutting out the sin from our lives for a cleansing application.
Think what that thought would have meant to a Gentile.
Yeah.
Having been called uncircumcision all of their existence, culturally alienated in such a way, to say, actually, you are now similar in the sense that you can't be of the circumcision. It meant a lot to them.
That's the point that we're going to see. It meant a lot to them. And how would the Jews take it?
They didn't like it.
They wanted to still enforce it. It was making them on the level with them.
We do understand the Judaizing teachers who wanted to hang on to the law, but sometimes we beat up on the Jews a little bit, right? Were Jews pretty quickly to accept Christianity? Yeah, they were. Acts 2, what happened? 3,000 were baptized. As you move on, you have 5,000 men who were baptized, and they were all Jews. So there is a great number of Jews that were ready for the Messiah and accepted him as he came, accepted the gospel. So sometimes we beat up on the Jews. We say, oh, they're all bad. Well, that's not so, because a slew of them were great. You know, it wasn't until Acts 10 when Gentiles, you know, received, you know, Christianity. You had something to say, or
no,
messing with your wrist.
Okay?
8,000 compared to the millions that were Jews is actually a small percentage.
But in Acts, as you see in Acts, a little side note here, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells his apostles that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the remotest part of the world. Okay? So as the gospel is being
spread,
put out there, if you will, it was put out there in Jerusalem first. So how many Jews accepted in Jerusalem? A lot. A lot. So there were Jews elsewhere. So I don't know if we can say the minority or majority, because there were a lot of Jews who accepted Jesus.
Well, at that time when this was happening, they were required to be there.
That's correct.
From all over the world.
So you have the gospel being taught in Jerusalem. That's what he told his apostles. And then where? And then Judea and Samaria. So then it went out. And then what? And then to the remotest part of the world. Then it went out more. So God was revealing his gospel, you know, geographically to the world, and it went in that order. Okay? Something, Mike, or not?
Just the fact that Acts 6, there were so many of them that they had to, you know, start getting additional people to help serve, you know, the widows and some of the other Rishi widows and some of the other folks. I mean, the church was growing so fast, even before Acts 10, that they had to deal with you know, their growth and big way.
That's right. So when we talk about the Jews, yeah, we had a great portion that accepted Jesus, and maybe a great portion that didn't. That were still hung up on that, as we talked about, that didn't want to accept the Jews, didn't want to accept the Gentiles, and were, you know, reluctant to take on what the gospel had for them. Okay, question. Everybody understand that idea of circumcision? So, now therefore remember that formerly the Gentiles in the flesh were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcised. So there's the Gentiles, there's the Jews, which is performed in the flesh by human hand. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Where were you as Gentiles?
Lost.
For what reason?
You weren't the chosen.
They weren't the chosen. Not specifically because of sin. They were excluded. Isn't that right? That is the old law. Now we got to get into that. So where do we start? At that time, separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. What does it mean to be a commonwealth?
It's
a term that we don't usually use today in our culture.
It's like a nation. It's like a group that are together. There are commonwealths in the old British nation had commonwealths.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was going to say that it's a collection of nations under the same banner of something not necessarily considered to be voluntarily there.
Okay. I think the closest term that we'd use today, I am a citizen of Reno. That concept. So what were they? They were excluded from the commonwealth of what? Of Israel. What is Israel?
God's people.
The elect. Right? How was Israel maintained? Through the blood. Right? You have to be born into it. Sure, you had some proselytes, right? But if you were an Israelite, how are you an Israelite?
Born.
DNA proved it. Not back then. But that's the point, right? So they were not citizens of Israel. Right? They were strangers to the what? Oh, go ahead, Rachel.
I was going to say that, remember, Israel up until this point was a sovereign nation. to where it's like, if you live in Israel, these are our borders, here's our laws, that's on my God. But with Jesus, though, it's saying Israel is no longer the physical place. It's not just you have to be a citizen born into to be in Israel. You can come to it. If you, like the Jews of the past, choose to make God like your head, as it were, of yourself, then you can come into Israel. You can be a citizen of Israel, and that's also our thing for Jews. But also a lot of people today, Christians, were like, what do you mean it's no longer a holy site? It's like, yeah, it hasn't been a holy site for over 1,000 years.
Yeah. And, you know, the types and antitypes are fabulous, you know. Israel was that physical place. How did you become an Israelite? By the blood. So how does that apply to us all today?
Cleansing and washing.
You know that. We've been talking about it in our class, in our other classes. What? The physical Israel is now what? The church. How do we get into it? By being born into it, aren't we?
No.
By yeah, we are. Aren't we born into, to be born again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So now we're born into it. We're adopted as sons by what? By the blood, not by being born of my own blood, by the blood of Christ. So all of those things, the types and the antitypes, are just amazing. Old Testament, New Testament. So they were what? They were strangers. They were not Israel. They were not, you know, excluded from commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise. Oh boy. Meaning what? Covenants of promise. The Mosaic law was given to who?
Israelites.
To the Israelites, right? Is it for us? Was it given to us? Was it given to the Gentiles?
No.
It wasn't. It was given to the Israelites for how long? For a period of time, wasn't it? Until what? Until the Messiah came. Until the Christ came. Right? So these Gentiles who we're talking about are strangers to the covenants. It wasn't given to them. They're outside of that. We're just setting up what we talked about earlier. What were the Jews and Gentiles, you know, how did they react to different situations? The Gentiles here, were they under the law?
No.
The Mosaic law, I guess I ought to clarify that.
That sounds better.
Because they were under law.
They were under law.
But not the
law. Law to themselves, okay? But they weren't under the covenants of the promise. Right? The covenants, did the covenants have promises? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
If you do this, you get that.
That's right. Right? But the Gentiles didn't have this. They weren't citizens of that. They were strangers.
I saw Rahab, how she technically wasn't born of the Lord, but then she chose and she came in. So we do have a few examples of that in the Bible.
You do.
People chose and weren't coming in. But the point, though, of it only being of the 12 tribes, that bloodline was to keep it pure for Jesus. That was the reason for it. It wasn't just let's be an exclusive club here. There was more to it than that. And so whenever people have like this idea of, oh, if you didn't obey God in these specific circumstances, that you're not Jewish at this specific time, you were not, as it were, like God wouldn't even look at you. But we have examples of that, like, Jonah. How he scolded Jonah, and he was like, why? These people don't know the right hand from their left, and you want me to condemn them like I would with people like people who feel better?
Mm-hmm.
So God just have a certain mercy, but he also had a plan that he stuck to. That was the reason why when they put away their foreign wives.
And that's the point, that God had a plan, right?
That's right.
The old law. Do we have a God that's just, you know, unjust and he just chooses one group of people and all the rest are without hope?
No. He's a God of mercy.
What were these people? Excluded? Strangers? No hope? Without God? Did God do that?
They did it.
Ooh. They did it. God didn't do it. God didn't say it's just the Israelites. Just
initially.
But you see in verse 13, that changes.
Previously he did.
Yeah. Right.
That's what he did. That was the plan. God set that up for what reason? You mentioned it. That blood will remain pure until what? The Christ. That was within the whole plan of God. Isn't that right?
Well,
and the Gentiles were excluded from that. Larry?
You can't have salvation without it. I mean, God sure. set this thing up so everything works and it's well oiled. It's a machine that's functioning for our benefit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see, what else? I should use my notes because I already missed a couple passages. We'll go back. Okay, so we're having no hope and without God in the world. That's where they were. Without God. The Greek term is, we get the term atheist. It's atheo, meaning anti-Christ, anti-God. Okay, they were without God. They had no hope. Okay, right? Then what? That little word.
But.
Okay. But what? But now in Christ, just let me get back up. Without God in the world. What does that mean?
In their world.
Just an interesting little word that the Holy Spirit puts in here. Without Christ in the world. Without God in the world, meaning what?
He's there, but they haven't been taught him or introduced to him.
They don't recognize him.
Or the world, all of creation, who created it?
God.
You would think if you were in that creation, you would have what? Hope. Right? No hope without God in the world. So God creates all this. Yes, ma'am.
I was thinking, like, no wonder they have their own idols, and you know, they're trying to figure it out without God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because God puts within mankind what?
Free will.
Free will. What else?
Eternity.
Eternity. The desire. I think we're all in us. It's in our DNA. That we look for something outside of ourselves, right? So if we don't have structure or understanding, we're just going to pick, you know, I think that those glasses we ought to worship next week, you know, or whatever.
God do that, and that's how he set
right.
it up.
That's right. So that's just showing us where the Gentiles were. So then it goes on, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. There is a miracle of God. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
There's what God did. But in Christ. What do we talk about in Christ in chapter 1? Notice the terminology it's used. How many times in chapter 1, you know, turn your Bibles over. I've got mine all highlighted. But in Christ we have what? All spiritual blessings. In Christ we have what? We're predestined. In Christ we have what?
Redemption.
You name it.
Everything.
Everything is in Christ. But now in Christ, right? In Christ Jesus, you are formerly far off. Who's that talking to? The Gentiles. So we probably know in Acts chapter 2, somebody turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 39, is it? Acts 2 and 39, I think. 39 or 40. 39, I think. 39. Somebody read that. Go ahead.
For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Okay, so in Acts 2, what's the context of Acts 2? the day of Pentecost, the first lesson, the first gospel lesson, Peter preached that lesson. It comes on down in verse 37. They were pierced to the heart. They said, what should we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized. For this and then he goes on to say, this promise is for you and for your children and all who are afar off. This promise is for you. Who's his audience at that time?
Jews.
This promise is for you Jews and for you Jews, your kids, and who else?
Everybody.
The Gentile, because isn't that what he's saying here? You were formerly far off. Fascinating concept, because why? Who preached that lesson?
Peter.
Peter. Who understood that lesson? Not Peter. He didn't even understand until Acts 9, is it Acts 9, that God was going to allow the Gentiles to be Christians. I think in 10 they became. But wasn't it 9 where he received the vision? So he didn't even understand what he said, that this promise is for you Jews, for your Jewish kids, and for the Gentiles. He didn't even understand that, but he said it. Why? Because
God.
He was inspired by God.
Yeah.
Right? So the promise of salvation is for who?
Everyone.
For all. Right?
That's God's promise.
Where did I put my notes?
Unless you reject him.
Sure, if you reject him, but it's there. That
right.
We have that opportunity.
Andy?
Yes?
I think about back up where it's talking about strangers to the comes of promise and having no hope and without God. It wasn't without God in the world. It wasn't that God wasn't in the world. It was that the Gentiles, those people who were non-Jews, had no access to God. It was all about access. But now they have access to God, and as we do. And you're right, if you choose not to do that, that's your choice. But God gives you that choice. But you still have access.
Mm-hmm. And did the Old Testament teach us that the Gentiles would have salvation?
Well, that's what was promised to Abraham, that his seed.
And your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, okay?
Yeah.
Turn over to Romans 15. Yes, the answer to my question was yes. It very much did in certain places. So even though the Jews didn't quite understand that, in Romans, if you pick up this context, Romans 15, notice with me in verse 7, and notice there's quite a few quotations from the Old Testament. It says, wherefore accept one another, just as Christ Jesus also accepted us to the glory of God. And this is accept, the Jews and the Gentiles need to accept one another. For I say that Christ has become servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers. And for the Gentiles, so Christ is the promise to the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy as it is written. As it is written. Get that? As it is written. First off, 2 Samuel. Therefore I will give praise to thee among the Gentiles. And I will sing to thy name. Verse 10, Deuteronomy 32. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Old Testament. Verse 11, Psalms 117. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people praise him. You catching it? Verse 12, Isaiah says, therefore, there shall come from the root of Jesse. Who's the root of Jesse? David, Jesus, right? And he who arises to rule over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope. Did the Old Testament teach that the Gentiles were going to be saved?
Yeah.
Yes. Did they understand that?
No.
Oh, really? The second bell? Yeah. Or was it first?
Yeah. 5 minutes earlier.
Yeah. All right. I know this is kind of an in-depth context here, but get into it. And hopefully you guys are doing your workbook. If you're not, shame, shame.